So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your. Rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise. song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus.
And Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. You're holy and holy.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. I look bigger on Zoom. Somebody told me I look taller. I look taller on Zoom, so I might have to Zoom more often, I guess. And then I was told to look better in person, so I don't know which is the what I should do.
You don't look taller in person.
I bet I'm taller than you are now. If you come on, get over here. Well, praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? Yes. Through all things. Chris and I never got COVID, but we were staying away just in case we were infectious. Had an infectious disease and it went to infect you, so it's good to be back this morning, though. Any praises this morning, what God's done, what he's doing? We know he's working.
My brother Gary had a massive heart attack yesterday around 4 a.m. He told me, you know, he was in severe pain, but he was able to call 911 and they rushed him to Doctors West, and they did emergency surgery and put a stent in, and so, you know, he's doing 100% better at this point in time, but please, you know, thank the Lord, and please keep my brother in prayers. Like I say, his name's Gary, and that he's 57 years old, and so, you know, like I say, that they get everything taken care of, and he'll be swiftly on the road to recovery. Thank you.
So we can thank the Lord he got to the phone and they got him in and did the operation right away with all these delays. You know, he could have been in the emergency room for 4 hours waiting, but it's good that he got in and got that taken care of. So anybody else?
Just quickly, if you would pray for my Uncle Stuart. So Uncle Stuart is my father's brother, and you know, my father passed away a couple of years ago, and his sisters are gone. Uncle Stuart got COVID this week, and he's had some blood clots, some issues with his kidney as kind of a complications with it, and both lungs. So we're being told that these next few days are critical for him. So I don't believe that he knows the Lord. I pray that he does, but if, you know, first and foremost, that he would know the Lord as his Savior. And so if you would pray for that. And Jim and Sue perhaps are on here right now. Jim and Sue, from what I'm hearing, you know, we're praying for Anna Zimmerman. And while she is in the hospital and has a number of different issues with her lungs and her heart, just trying to get that oxygen level, the news that is coming out is that right now, Anna is just doing awesome. You know, for what she is going through right now, she's praising the Lord. She's calling her daughter. She's eating. So we praise God for that. But continue to pray for healing.
I feel like you're in a classroom waiting to answer the test or something.
Okay, a friend is out of the hospital, and she's out here at Arbor's West, and there is no limit on visitors. If some woman likes to go see her, she would like that. Thank you.
It's good news, isn't it? In Arbor's West, you can visit. Visit and visit often. Well, Dick hit a deer this week, two of them actually. He couldn't settle for one, he had to hit two. And but he's okay, the vehicle doesn't look too good. But he's okay and it's getting fixed. We got in a wreck this week. Some young girl hit the back of us, but it didn't really do much damage. We were turning on, what is it, Bolton Road there, off Hall. And I kept seeing her getting closer and closer and closer. I said, she's gonna hit us. Boom, hit the back of our bumper. And then we pulled over and of course I was really happy, like, hey. No, I was like, and taking pictures. My wife said, did you ask if she's okay? I'm like, no. So she went over there. She's a compassionate one, you know. So she went over, asked her how she was doing. She was crying a little bit, and then she came out. We talked, and I kind of lightened up because it wasn't. I thought she smashed the whole back of my van. It just made a little mark on the bumper. We had the same insurance company. It was snowing. We took pictures and stuff, so she kind of calmed down. It wasn't really a big thing, but first thing, an accident. We've been in so many van accidents now. I don't know, it's something about vans. People like to hit them, but we've probably been in four accidents. People have hit us in our vans. Every van we've gotten so far, we've been hit in. And but this one wasn't, there was no damage, and so everything went well, so we thank the Lord for that. But I was surprised to see when I was turning, because it was really slippery on Monday, and she kept getting closer, closer, and I'm like, she's going to hit us. I'm like, boom. I'm like, well, okay, so she did. We can thank God we weren't injured, and the van's got a little mark, but no big deal. So, anything else? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for Mary's funeral service that we had, that was here, that we're able to talk about you and salvation and her and all the things that she'd done and her family being here, and just hopefully give peace and comfort to the family as Isaac was able to deliver the message and they were able to get to the the graveside. A little bit of trouble here and there, but they made it. And we just know that Mary's with you today. We just give you praise for that this morning. Ask for peace for the family. We just pray for the requests this morning, Lord, for doctors, for operations, for hospitals, for heart attacks and recovery, and people who have COVID, and all these things that are happening around the world. Lord, we ask for your healing hand to touch each one. We thank you for protection that you've given to those who've been either come through easily or those who haven't got it at all. Pray for those who've had the flu that's going around as well, and some kind of other viruses that are going around. We know we live in bodies that are not perfect. We know we're susceptible to disease and sickness and growing old and aches and pains and all kinds of things that happen to us. We're susceptible to emotional strain and stress and all those things as well. But we just pray, Lord, for your peace that passes understanding to be upon us today. Be upon those, Lord, who are having troubles and issues and trials, that you'd give them your peace. Know that you are there with them. We ask for your comfort as well. Thanks for protection in these accidents we had this week. Thank you for those, Lord, who are here today and those who are with us on Zoom, on the radio, and for those, Lord, who are home and couldn't make it in. Pray you'd be with them as well. Help us to be able to contact those who couldn't make it today. Just check on them, see how they're doing. Help us to keep these requests this morning mentioned in prayer, and those on our prayer sheet, Lord, for our families and friends and those that we have concerns about. So God, be with us this morning. Thanks for Jesse leading us, and we just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
When I was thinking about what song to sing today, if you've been a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent, you know that little one leans up against you or sits at your feet or rests their head on your chest and listens to your heartbeat. And it's just this song, like, just swept over me, because we are God's children, and he longs for our fellowship and our closeness like this. So I just wanted you to have that image this morning as we sang this. Or
the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. The cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. And the more I seek you, oh, the more I find you, and the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand, and I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. And I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Thank you for that. A little technical information this morning. Moses was the first person with a tablet downloading data from the cloud. What? It's true. God is like oxygen. You can't see him, but you can't live without him. The topic we're talking about this morning goes along with the idea of oxygen, talking about faith. Can't always see faith, can you? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But let's go further. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved, isn't it? We don't think about that, do we? You need faith to be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not faith that saves us, but faith leads us to God's grace, which can save us. So we need to have faith and express it, act in faith, we're going to be saved. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him or sup with him and he with me. So Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts, doesn't he? It's a voice calling to us, but we have to respond, don't we? You can't just say, oh, I believe it. Yeah, Jesus, I know you're there. I'm not going to open the door, though. So faith does take action, doesn't it? We have to do something with our faith besides just believe. We have to accept Christ in our heart. So that's an action. Amen. And I believe faith demands a response in all kinds of different situations. James 2:14a says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds? What that means is if you have faith, it'll show, right? If you're excited about something, it shows, doesn't it? If you're working at something, it shows. So if you're a person that does, let's just say, crocheting, you say, I have faith, I crochet, and somebody says, let's see your work. Well, I haven't done any, but I do crochet. Well, really? How do I know that? Because I know I could probably do it if I wanted to, but so a lot of times things we do, it will show. So faith doesn't save us, but it shows in our actions. I had an example I was going to talk about for a chair, for example. So I can have this chair, and I can say, I have faith that chair is going to hold me up. So Laura comes in and says, what are you doing? I said, well, I have faith this chair is going to hold me up. She says, really? And I said, yeah, I have faith in it. Well, how do you know that? Because I believe it. All right, so you believe it. Let me see it. Let me see you sit in it. Well, I don't really need to sit in that chair. Because I have faith that it'll hold me up, right? But if I have faith, I'm going to say, I have faith this chair is going to hold me up, and I'm going to actually sit in this chair to show that I have faith that that chair can hold me up. A lot of times as Christians, we say we have faith in God, but we don't necessarily show that we have faith in God. We pray prayers we don't really believe in. We pray them because we're supposed to pray those prayers, but do we really believe those prayers will be answered? People will see faith in our lives, and it has a response that we have to show. We're going to look at Moses this morning in regards to his response and his parents' response and action that went along with their faith. So we're going to be in Exodus and Hebrews both, Hebrews 11 and Exodus chapter 2 at some points. So Hebrews 11 says, verse 23, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. Some say he was special, some say he was beautiful, some say goodly. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So Exodus 2 tells us, this is referring to when Pharaoh was afraid the Israelites might rise up and become too strong. So he had to kill the newborn male children from a certain point. Possibly a time around Moses' birth, somewhere around there. We know it wasn't before that because he had a brother and sister, didn't he? So it was somewhere around his birth. And his father and mother, Amram and Jochebed, saw he was beautiful, goodly, out of the ordinary, and they hid him for 3 months. That in itself is an effort, isn't it? If you ever had a baby, you can't keep kids from crying, right? So that was a chore to try to hide him for 3 months. So they weren't afraid of the king's edict because they knew they had faith in God, and that faith caused them to keep this child as long as they could. But there came a time when their faith demanded they had to do a response. They had to do something. 3 months old, they knew the people were getting closer, and they would have had to make a choice. Do I let the child be killed, or do I do something else? Do I put my faith in action? So what response did they have? Exodus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark, or it's a basket, of bulrushes, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off so she could know what would become of him. So I'm sure his mother and father talked about it, don't you think? What are we going to do? What's the problem? What's the solution? Well, we're going to make a basket. We're going to waterproof it, put our son in it, and then we're going to put him in the reeds where the Pharaoh's daughter is. Hopefully, she's going to find him. And hopefully, the crocodiles don't eat him. Right? There's now crocodiles all over the place. It wasn't like, let's just throw him in, it's going to be fine. They put him in the reeds, probably so he wouldn't float away, too. So a lot of different things they had to trust God for in that situation. And they did. What was the alternative? He's dead for sure. This way he's got a chance. We can see what God's going to do. As the sister ran along, she got to witness what happened when the Pharaoh's daughter's maids or maidens found him. She plucked him out of the water, which is, they say, what, that's what Moses means, plucked out of the water, picked out of the water. And she could see that God saved him for a greater purpose. And the next thing is, actually, his mother got to raise him because the sister went up and said, oh, you need somebody to nurse this child? Sure I do. Oh, I have the lady just for you. So his mother got to raise him as a small child. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus 2:11-15 tells about this. It says, it came to pass in those days when Moses had grown up, he went out to his brethren and looked to their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So here's the question. How did Moses know it was his brethren? He's raised in Pharaoh's house. How did he know the Israelites were his brothers? Probably because his mother taught him that. As a child, that she's raising him, these are your brothers, this is your heritage. You're an Israelite. These are your people. This is our God that we serve. So as he's in Pharaoh's house, I think his mother was probably teaching him all these things. And he remembered them. And he learned them. And he took them to heart. And look in verse 12. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out a second day, behold, two men, the Hebrews, strove together. And he said, saw them doing wrong, and he said, why do you try to kill each other, basically? And they said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You intend to kill me and kill the Egyptian, like you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, where he sat down by a well. So Moses could have ignored this situation, couldn't he? Could have said, well, let them kill each other. I'm going to stay in Pharaoh's house. I'm going to be rich, powerful, and famous. But he didn't choose that. He chose to follow God's plan for him, which was to be the leader of the Israelites at some point. Hebrews 11:25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Do we do that sometimes? We choose to follow God instead of the pleasures, the popularity, the things we can have? Or do we say, I'm going to forsake that stuff because I know God wants me to do this instead? Hard choice sometimes, isn't it? Doing what God wants as opposed to sometimes what we want. But he chose to be an Israelite, not an Egyptian. In so doing, he fled for his life because he protected his brethren. Go back to Hebrews 11:26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, persevered because he saw him who was invisible. So this jumps to a different time when they're with Pharaoh, where he's persecuting the Israelites. And Moses becomes the ambassador of God to Pharaoh. He goes to Pharaoh and tells him, let my people go. Remember that? So he was running from Pharaoh, goes to Midian, gets married, all these things happen. You can read the story. Has the burning bush experience. And then God tells him to go back. So can you imagine how he must have felt? God says, go back to where you were. And then Moses says, you know, basically I'm of, you know, poor tongue. I can't remember the phrase, but basically he can't speak very well. Kind of like me. Maybe spoke too fast. And so he said, okay, fine, Aaron's going to be your voice for you, but you're going to go back and represent me before Pharaoh. And then we have all the plagues and things that had happened. And then the final thing, you know, they had to put the blood on the doorposts so the death angel would pass over. And then Pharaoh relented, let him go. Moses led him through faith without fear. The Egyptians even gave him things on the way out. Right? They gave him possessions on the way out. Basically, they were glad to get rid of him. So Moses had to act in faith, didn't he? He could have chose to follow God's plan, go back in front of Pharaoh. He could have chose to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to raise my sheep and stay here with my wife. But he chose to do what God wanted him to do through faith. So his faith did have an action, just like his mother and father's faith had an action where they put him in the river. His faith has an action now where he's making a choice of what he's going to do. Talks about the invisible God. Moses knew the invisible God, didn't he? Because we don't always see God, do we? We usually see him around standing next to us. But we see the effects of him, don't we? We see the results of what he does in our lives. We answer prayer when things happen. When you almost get in a car wreck and you go, oh, that was lucky. That wasn't lucky. Right? God had his hand in that, protecting you. When you get sick or something happens, and God protects you. Exodus 14:13, we see the people were complaining to Moses about leaving Egypt, and they're afraid of Pharaoh's army that was right behind them. Thank you, my good man. Moses answered the people, and he said, don't be afraid, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Sometimes our faith makes us stand up. When everybody else is sitting down, sometimes we got to be the one that stands up. Maybe we need to say, this isn't right. And things happen. Maybe it's we're the person that God wants to use, and we're afraid. But he says, don't be afraid. God's going to be with you. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Here again, Moses had a choice, didn't he? He could have said, you're crazy. It's not going to work. But he had a relationship with God in the past and all things that had happened, right, in Egypt with all the plagues and all those things that he knew God was faithful. So when God said, hold out your staff, stretch out your arms, the sea's going to part, he didn't have to doubt, did he? He just had to do it and let God do the work. He wasn't saying, Moses, you got to do this. You got to make it happen. He said, you do this and I'll make it happen, basically. You stretch out your arms, I'll part the sea. So we know that his people crossed on dry ground. And we know that Pharaoh's army was destroyed. So can you imagine that? They're going through. I'm sure the people are scared. Wouldn't you be going through a sea that's up on both sides? And you're walking through this, wondering, is this going to come down sometime? Then as you get through, you see Pharaoh's army right behind you. Oh, they're following us. Then all of a sudden, whew, and they're gone. But then we see later on, they complain again, don't they? Oh, we don't like the food. We don't like this. We've had, you know, so we kind of go through times of that, don't we? Where God takes us through in faith. Things happen. We're all excited about it. A few weeks later, something happens. Oh, why has God forgot about me? Not remembering what he'd done in the past. Just looking at our current circumstance. What he's doing now. Hebrews 11:27. Moses persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Well, when God did that, you knew he was there, didn't you? And that sea parted, you got, this has got to be God. There's no other way it could have happened. It's not a natural occurrence. We don't have seas parting all the time, do we? It doesn't happen that way. Somebody says, well, that sea was only 5 inches deep. You say, well, praise God even more because he killed the whole Egyptian army with 5 inches of water. So either way you look at it, it's a miracle, right? We know it's not true, but if they say that, you can use that on them. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. So people immediately say, oh, Moses saw God's face. Well, it can't be so because Exodus 33:11 says that no man can see God's face and live, right? So seeing God's face actually meant that he spoke to him like a friend. He spoke as a friend would speak. It doesn't mean he saw him physically. It means they spoke in a personal, intimate way. He was like, God, I need your help. I know I'll help you. Those kind of things, as opposed to, God, I know you're way up there. No, God was right there with him, and he spoke to him. Today we have faith, but we need to persevere during tough times, even times when we doubt. Because we have faith in the Lord, we know that we can persevere through it. We have his word, which gives us examples. People who went through difficult times and seemingly impossible times, and they still trusted God. When push came to shove, when time called for it, their faith demanded a response. You ever been in a situation where it was, am I going to choose faith or am I going to choose fear? Am I going to choose faith or am I going to choose nothing? Am I going to just stand still or am I going to move when God tells me to move? We have those situations, don't we? I've talked about it before. It's called the crisis of belief. Am I going to believe God can do this, or am I going to go back to what I was doing before? We saw the disciples do it, didn't we? Jesus crucified, they went back to fishing. And he goes back and kind of gathers them again and says, follow me. I'm here. Well, I was thinking of two other incidents that required faith or response to faith. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Luke chapter 8. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him. For they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at his feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. So there's a big crowd. Jairus comes and says, can you come and save my daughter? She's dying. Jesus says, okay. They start going through the crowd. So he's heading to Jairus' house. And on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So you can think how tight that was going to be when they're walking through that. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. So she's gone through this for 12 years. And now she's saying, if I'm going to be healed in any way, this is how it's going to happen. I've got to get to him, because I know he has the power. She had the faith. Now she could have stood by the side and said, yep, I know he can heal me, and watch him walk by. But her faith had to have some kind of action. So the action was, I've got to get through and I've got to touch him. He doesn't need to say a word to me. I've at least got to touch him to see what he can do for me. So she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. So he's walking by and she just goes, boop, right? Just touch him. Boop. Normally people wouldn't know that, would they? You are not going to know somebody just touches your coat when you walk by. But Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? Disciples are like, are you nuts, dude? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me. The woman's probably like, it was me. Do I say anything? Or do I just let it go? So the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus healed her, but her faith, because of her action, got her to the place of being healed, didn't it? When we're sick, a lot of times, we can stay home and pray, God, please heal me, and never go to the hospital and wonder, how come I didn't get healed? Well, you didn't go to where God provided that. Sometimes he can heal miraculously, right? And that's an awesome thing if he does. Other times he says, get up and go to the hospital. You know, don't be dumb. Take your medication. That's why you have it. Those kind of things. So faith leads us to action. Action leads to a response. Sometimes And I think we get to a point where we draw back. We'll just use the job, for example. That's an easy one to remember. We want a new job. We pray about it. We know God can do it. But we just sit back and do nothing. We say, yeah, God's going to give me that job. Well, have you applied for it? No. Have you looked online? No. Sent any resumes? Nope. But I know, you know what, God's going to give me that job. Really? Somebody's going to walk up and say, hey, do you want a job? I'm sure that's happened in very rare cases, but usually you've got to be searching for that job. You've got to be moving. You've got to be looking, putting your faith into action that you trust God's going to find you the job, and you keep looking until you find the job he wants you to have. So I have a thing of your computer up here. You go to the computer a lot of times now. There's Indeed. There's all kinds of job sources you can go to. You can send out letters. You can send out emails. You can do all kinds of things. Ask friends. But you're putting your faith in action. Your trust is in God, but your faith is in action. And it may happen right away. It may take months. It may take years. If you look in Hebrews 11, some of the people didn't realize the results of their faith while they were alive. Right? If you look in there, it says some of them didn't realize it, basically. What God had in store for them, they found it later. But we talk about perseverance. We need to persevere and keep going. Keep pushing on. Keep trying. You think the disciples gave up when somebody said, no, I don't want to accept Christ? Oh, they don't want to accept. We're done. We're finished. No, they kept going, kept pursuing, kept sharing. Not necessarily belligerently. God answered my prayer. He did this for me. People could see what had been done. What's the thing you've been hoping for and praying for? Now you're scared. What does God want you to do in faith and move and pursue it? And you haven't done it. Well, I'll do it later. I'm not really sure. I don't feel qualified. Ever have those thoughts? I don't know if I can do that. You got to get past that point. You got to get over that edge and say, if God called me to it, the phrase is right, he'll lead me through it. Verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe and she'll be healed. At that point, Jairus could have said, okay, Jesus, you can go. It's not going to happen. But they went on. He said, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand, said, my child, get up. And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Jesus told him to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anybody. So here you have a guy whose daughter's dying. He goes to the one he knows can heal her, doesn't he? Jesus, I need you to come heal my daughter. But on the way, his servant says, she's dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe and she'll be healed. Sometimes we think that's going to happen for us automatically, don't we? I'll just believe and that person's going to get right out of bed. In this case, she was healed in this life. Sometimes they're healed in the next life, aren't they? It doesn't guarantee just because we pray they're going to be healed instantly right now. But they will be healed, won't they? Just a matter of when that's going to happen. Well, they arrive and the first thing Jesus did was sent those out who didn't believe. All the ones he laughed, he said, you guys get out of here. You don't believe this. You don't need to be here. Because doubt festers doubt, doesn't it? Somebody doesn't believe and starts telling everybody else, that's not going to happen, that's not going to work. It makes other people start believing the same thing. So he said, you guys just need to go. And he brought his disciples and the parents, and he showed them a miracle, didn't he? He reached out and took her by the hand, told her to get up, and her life was restored. Even in the face of possible, impossible circumstances of her death, Jairus continued to follow Jesus, didn't he? And believe that he could do it. But it took faith to keep going, didn't it? He's on the way. Your daughter's dead. No, Jesus said, follow me. Okay, let's keep going then. Sometimes you get through hard times, it looks impossible, but we need to keep going. Because what's at the end is where we need to be to find what God has for us. Not where we are. So their faith demanded a response. He chose to go with Jesus and not turn back. And on your journey, the crowd's not always going to be with you. Have you found that out already? The crowd doesn't always agree with you. The crowd doesn't go with you, especially when you do something for Christ. You may say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And you say, no, I prayed about this. I know God wants me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. Even when the crowd says it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what the crowd says necessarily. It matters what God says. A lot of times you want to surround yourself with godly people. What God is saying. It's going to come to a point when you're going to discover that Jesus is all you have, he's all you need. And God's enough in your situation. Well, I have two little stories I'm going to close with because I think it really brings home the point. This one you've kind of heard in different ways, but I just like it because it seems really practical. It says, would you carry your umbrella in a drought? There's a drought. Are you going to walk around with an umbrella? As the drought continued for what seemed an eternity, a small community of farmers in a quandary as to what to do. Rain was important to keep their crops healthy and sustain the townspeople and their way of life. As the problem became more acute, a local pastor called a prayer meeting to ask for rain. Many people arrived at the church to pray for the rain. The pastor greeted most of them as they filed in. Well, we usually see prayer meetings filled up when there's a crisis, don't we? Then it dwindles off. Oh, we had 3 people this week. Oh, how come last week we had 45? Because there was a crisis. Remember the Twin Towers? How many people flocked to churches? And then we just kind of drift off. Like, oh, we don't need them anymore. When we do, we need them even more, don't we? In the good times and the bad. As he walked in front of the church to officially begin the meeting, he noticed that most people were chatting across the aisles and socializing with friends. When he reached the front, his thoughts were on quieting the attendees and starting the meeting. His eyes scanned the crowd as he asked for quiet. He noticed an 11-year-old girl sitting quietly in the front row. Her face was beaming with excitement. Well, that's kind of a new one for church too, isn't it? People in the front row beaming with excitement instead of this. Next, her open and ready for use was a very big, colorful, and extremely large umbrella, much bigger than her, in fact. She had her umbrella open on the floor next to her in the front of the church. This little girl's beauty and innocence made the pastor smile as he realized how much faith she possessed. No one else in the congregation had brought an umbrella. All came to pray for rain, but the little girl had come expecting God to answer. When we pray, do we expect God to answer, or do we just hope he's going to? You can't hide that. When you're in front of the church with an umbrella like that, you're not going to hide that. People know you think it's going to rain. And then they start thinking, yeah, maybe it could. Our faith can be contagious to those. She brought her faith and an umbrella expecting God to answer. There's one more, kind of deals with the farm as well. It says, a young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmer asked for his qualifications, he said, I can sleep through a storm. The farmer was puzzled, but he liked the young man, so he hired him. A few weeks later, the farmer and his wife were wakened in night by a violent storm ripping through the valley. He jumped out of bed, calling for his new hired hand, but found him sleeping soundly in the midst of the storm. He quickly began to check all the things to see if they were secure. He found the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set by the fireplace. The farmer's wife inspected their property and found the farm tools had been put away. The wheat bales had been bound and wrapped up in tarps. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn was properly locked. Even the animals were calm and had plenty of feed. All was well. Then the farmer understood the meaning of, I can sleep through a storm. Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully, when skies were clear, he was prepared for any storm. So when the storm did actually break, he was not concerned or afraid. He could sleep in peace. He did what he could do, put his faith and trust in God, and that gave him peace. We need to put our faith into action before hard times come, don't we? So when those times come, we know God's faithful, and he's going to answer. I read this quote this week. It said, it's impossible, said pride. It's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give it a try, said the heart. Are we in that situation where we're going to willing to give it a try? You've got to try. Give them a chance. The first step to getting anywhere is deciding you are no longer willing to stay where you are. Being discontent in where you are. That's how I got here. I was discontent where I was in Virginia. They made it difficult. I didn't like it anymore. I didn't enjoy it. I knew I needed to get out of there. So I've told you several times, I looked for 3 months every day at lunch for a position somewhere. 3 months every day at lunch. I'll eat my soup. I'm on Indeed looking. Nope, not that one, not that one, not that one. Rick Proper, what are you doing on there? It just was a connection like that that God did. Our faith demands a response. And that's what we need to do. Have faith, respond in faith, trust God to do the rest so we can have peace. So faith doesn't make things easy. Faith makes things possible. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the faith that you've given us. We pray for our faith to be stronger, Lord. We pray to put our faith in action, that we can see what you've done and how we're supposed to live our life according to that. Give us your grace, give us your direction, and give us a nudge in your name. Amen.
If you guys want to stand and do this chorus of Build My Life.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. And I will build my life
message for faith. I just pray that we have boldness this week to walk out our faith, to move forward, to stand up for things you've been asking us to do for a long time. And we give you praise. Go with us this week and be glorified by our thoughts and our actions and our love. In Jesus' name.